Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This week was my pick, so I picked Aliens, made in 1986. That's the second in the Aliens quadrilogy, unfortunately. Ladies and gentlemen, this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. Seven years later, Ellen Ripley is rescued by a deep salvage team during hypersleep. The moon from the original movie has been colonized, but contact is lost. This time, colonial marines have impressive firepower, but will that be enough? I gotta say, starting off, this has Bill Paxton, who I didn't realize that. I completely forgot, for one, this is my favorite Bill Paxton character because of one line. But man, this made me sad seeing him because I loved that guy as an actor. One of my favorite lines of all time is, "Game over, man, game over."
Improvised, by the way.
Oh, hell yeah. I can totally see that. I'll give this a four. I like this one. I thought this was a great evolutionary step for a character. You got to see Ellen Ripley go from kind of hero hero because she was forced into it, into someone who tried to control her own destiny a little bit. I love the Marines. I love the firepower. This is a good four because it's entertaining. It doesn't have any of the excess crap from the later releases. Like, I like four, but it's just not as good.
You know, I jump in this one. And you miss Paul Reiser, even though this is one of my, probably my second or third most disliked Paul Reiser roles.
Because I know you love Mad About You.
I actually like that show, but for Helen Hunt, she was pretty damn cute. I'm giving this one a 3.5. I'm actually open to that possibly going up as we discuss this one. Look how old this dude looks, man.
Mm-hmm.
God, I was kind of blown away by
Lance
Henriksen, his IMDb profile picture.
He was the robot, right?
Yeah, he was the robot. I like him. He's actually a good actor, and I really do like the roles he has.
This movie is one of the few movies I would almost call perfectly cast. And the reason why, even the characters I hate, I don't hate the people who are in them. I hate the characters. So this was really well done. I was popping when the bad guys came up, not the aliens, but the characters I really disliked. It's like, I hate that guy. I was really impressed. This movie.
Ryan, you're up on a preliminary rating.
Okay. Preliminary rating, 4.5. Easy. This is the superior movie to the first one. Okay. I will fucking stand by that forever.
But you're
the
sitting
first
down.
One, amazing. This one, it took it to the next level.
I agree. This movie didn't suffer from sequel syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
This was one of the rare instances where it actually it enhanced the first one.
It absolutely enhanced the first one. It was perfectly cast. They everything was on the natural progression of the character already, you know, so seeing the story continue and get just that much better definitely went for the action and they didn't wear you out. You know, the first one was almost a teaser for the alien.
You know
what I mean? Like it almost whet your appetite a little bit. In this one, you just get full on multiple aliens. You know, everything was the suits. I think they made like six suits or something like that, and then just did clever editing and camera tricks, old school movie magic.
And I would say
it just took everything up a notch.
I would say this one also was another rare movie. I think that like Blade Runner, for example, had perfect atmosphere. Like everything, that the sets were spot on. The feeling of this movie was set on, the tonality and the color. This to me is almost a perfect movie. I would give, like, if we were going to rate the whole trilogy, 1, 2, and 3, the fourth one doesn't count in my humble opinion. This would be a 5, the whole thing. It's an absolutely amazing movie. Even small plot points. The thing with Ellen and her daughter, her kid, which reality is it's a small plot point in the movie, but it's a major point for her character. Even that was well done. There's nothing in this movie that I disliked. I liked how she started out, you know, just wanting to get back to work.
Yeah.
Well, and also it still went for the slow burn the first hour of the freaking movie.
Which was perfect. I mean, that was the perfect way to deliver the very fast-paced second part of the movie.
Yeah, and I would even say the slow part of the film really wasn't slow, even still.
No, it was like the first one where it lit the candle and you're just anticipating everything. Yeah.
It was the perfect speed, though. I mean, because when we talk about some movies, slow burn, you're just like, is this over with? And you're still on the edge of your seat going, okay, come on. Even if you've seen this 100 times, you're still like, oh, man, this part is interesting.
So I'll just put it out there. So you didn't rewatch the film in this year, and Brian, I know you didn't, but I watched the entire thing just because I was curious to see how well it held up. And we did do Alien.
I've seen this movie.
Did we already do Alien?
I've seen this movie within the last 6 months. I didn't have time this week.
We did another space movie that actually fit well. You know, I was looking for specific things. I was trying to look to see how well the gore graphics and the sets back thing. Yeah, it is amazing how it really still.
Do you want to know
holds
why?
Up.
And this is true. My straight up humble opinion is the fact it's all miniatures. Like CG works pretty good. For example, take a look at the Lord of the Rings, the first Lord of the Rings movies. That was standard miniatures and standard effects with CGI added on. I think that's the perfect way to do it because all CGI movies, like a year later, they look horrible. This movie still looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually...
Yeah, I've been saying it for freaking... I don't know how many episodes we've done, but at least 90% of them I've said this on. I fucking love when things look real.
Yeah.
You know, the CGI these days, obviously, 2017, we've got amazing CGI, and the things we can do today is literally what you can imagine in your brain you can put on a TV screen.
But if you take a look at the Hobbit movies, they were look like, you know, it's like Taste of Technicolor Rainbow. It was horrible.
Well, of course, there's exceptions and there's things, but there's no substitute for feeling like you can reach into the screen and hold what they're holding.
Oh, no, I totally agree. It's like we did the black hole. The ship in the ship in this one, the ship in the black hole, it had a feeling that you cannot reproduce with CGI. It's the giantness of it, I don't think, comes out as well.
Yeah, and it feels like to me right about the time that they – because, I mean, back in the day, obviously, there was no choice. You're building miniatures – if you wanted to blow up or have Godzilla stomp Tokyo, guess what? You're building a small Tokyo and having a guy in a suit.
By the way, that sounds fun. Can I volunteer for that job?
The options, right? Seriously. But I just want to build miniatures just to stomp them in my spare time. I don't even want to film them. But there was a time where you didn't have a choice, and it seemed to me like right about the time that they sort of perfected this amazing, amazing art form, they're like, hey, we're going to switch over to this digital shit.
It really does end up being digital shit.
Well, Jay Leno says something about cars that I think actually fits. He said, the last days of old technology is better than the first days of new technology. And the 80s, early 90s, unfortunately, were kind of the last days of practical effects, at least as far as I've been able to find
and listen to. What's cool to me is I think that we're actually entering into this era where the CGI has gotten to a point where the best possible thing is sort of this augmented reality, you know, where you have something tactile and you add to it a little bit, you know, something like this mix of both worlds. And obviously it seems obvious, but very few people do it correctly. J.J. Abrams, I think, does it great because he'll build the key points of a set and then sort of CGI a lot of things around it.
Then add the sun flare.
Oh, God damn it. If there's not a sun flare every 25 seconds, he's not satisfied.
I think what that is I think that's just time of, I think a lot of these directors and artists come back a while after the film was made and see how it just doesn't hold up. Like if you take most movies, even with crappy practical effects from, you know, the 40s, 50s, and 60s, like they kind of hold up somehow. But the early CGI movies.
Old school movie magic is. Yeah,
but if you take but if you take a look at like early CGI, and I'm talking about like, you know, you take a look from Terminator 2 and forward.
Oh yeah,
it just, some of them just do not hold up. Like, you know, if it was done with 100% practical.
Yeah, Terminator 2 holds up. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, no, but I'm just saying. But from wait, hold on. But from that forward, because before that you had like Tron, and you had movies that used computer aided graphics, but
easy. No, I know what you mean. It was the real hardcore sci-fi nerds that were into the computers at the time that were trying to do the really early stuff.
Like, for example, Tron.
And then people
didn't get
realize, hey, you're onto something.
Like, for example, they would not give Tron an award because they thought it was cheating using computers. I mean, this is how much the Academy Awards, for example, has changed.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely not cheating. I mean, it's like saying to an artist, you know, like you can't use any tools other than a paintbrush. Like, what says who?
Basically, you're just adding to it. You're plussing it. You know, you're shining it up.
Yeah, I still think Warhol's crap. It's just another tool. it's just another tool. But what it's going to take, though, is these people like Christopher Nolan, Abrams, Quentin Tarantino, the kind of people who want to shoot in ultra 70 millimeter, you know, the kind of people who want to still build miniatures and really expensive props to shoot it practically. You need those people to keep those sort of art forms alive. I'm going to stop because I keep mentioning this shit over and over again.
So I would, the other thing to get back to the show that the movie is, I love the electronics, like that, the automated turrets, those
armatures. The bullet counters.
Yeah, the armatures, their guns was on. I love the exercise, by the way, those two were doing and with those weapons that were attached to them. There are a lot of stuff that was impressive. I love also H.R. Giger was the guy who designed the aliens, the original starting point. This universe is just so well detailed in those movies.
Yeah, I always think, like, how badly really that petroleum jelly must have smelled when they lit on fire.
Oh, my gosh, really?
I mean, did you guys get high from that?
poor guy stuck on that alien suit, too, because they dumped a ton of KY jelly on him. It just...
Yeah.
But, man, I my cousin, for example, when he saw the first one as a kid, it scared the ever-living crap out of him just because you never saw anything like that. And I keep imagining with the second one... I think about this with especially this movie, you're seeing it again. I mean, you know what to expect, but you still don't really know what to expect from them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because they're not traditional monsters.
I know, and they learn.
Yes.
But it is a fucking monster movie, though.
Oh, hell yeah. But it's...
You know, like any way you cut it. So, it's not your traditional kind of monster, but it almost is your sort of traditional monster story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it has the extra dimension of being in space, which
well, yeah,
generally...
the sci-fi nature of it, it wasn't a thing that was beaten to death at the time, which was cool.
Yeah,
generally in the 80s and 90s, if you added in space to something, it was the death nail of any sci-fi series.
Gremlins in space.
Critters in space.
Yeah, but this was so transcendent.
Leprechaun
this was
in space.
Fucking Jaws in space right here.
Oh, yeah.
And they did do that, too.
And you saw this, and the space added a second dimension. It added, it added another character.
Well, it's basically the whole story. It was about them being in space and the fact of the complications of it.
Well, in the first one, in this one, outer space was another character in it because they had to do certain things in a certain way or else things would happen. So it really, I love the limitation of space in movies.
And I might be wrong on this one, but I actually believe that this is one of the first movies to ever bring up the idea of terraforming a planet.
It was
79.
I don't know if it was the first.
I didn't say the first. It was one of the first, at least.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
It's an old idea. There had to be movies from the 70s that had the basic idea.
I think Blade Runner came out before it, but you know, I mean, one of those to actually bring that up as a plot point of that's why they went back to the planet.
So I would. I'm going to actually bump it up a rating to 4.5. This movie is so much more funner to me. As
you don't make up words again.
Then the
funner?
First
did you
one.
Say funner?
He yes. did.
I'm sticking with it.
He's making up words over here.
Well, actually, quadrilogy. I'll bring the box set next week and show you where
and
it
look,
says
I'm,
quadrilogy.
I'm fine with quadrilogy. Funner. I have no problem with Quadrilogy.
Funner. I'm sticking with Funner. I enjoyed it a lot more in the first one. Mainly
was
because,
it funner?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you were already introduced to the aliens in the first one, and this one you get to see them, how they try to deal with aliens. So 4.
The aliens
5.
Are funner?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And Ripley's funnest?
Was it more gooder also?
So, James?
Yeah, I think I'll give it a 4. I don't know. For me, I like it. I do like it, but it just doesn't seem like, to me, the perfect movie. Although, you guys are right. It is actually better than the first one.
They just don't make movies like this anymore. It doesn't... This movie has a vastness to it. It has such a rich atmosphere. It's almost... I don't know. It's just such a great overall film.
Well, I'll give it one of these. It is a timeless classic.
It ages actually, very well.
Yeah, timeless for damn sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of them, but for me, it's still not a perfect movie. And there's just little issues I have with it. But it's like nitpicking. It's like I look at some things like, you know, you would actually have been sucked out of that airlock. Just putting that out there.
Well, you do realize that, you know, the plot points override physics.
I know, but I'm just throwing that out there. That was one of the things that I'm like, okay, you'd be dead.
By the way, I want that as a T-shirt now. You know, like your physics are overridden by my plot points or something like that. Ryan?
Yeah, what the guy from Mythbusters say? I reject your reality and submit my own.
Yes. Like, basically, it's a spin on that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Ryan, it's your
final
turn.
Rating.
I'm sticking with a 4.5. I mean, it really is damn near a perfect movie. You know, the little things like that, you know, whatever space physics, stuff like that, that doesn't hold up. But everything
nitpicking.
Else does. You can almost just imagine it as like an alternate timeline from 1980, whatever this movie was made.
The most amazing thing, I think, for me that you guys point out the outer space thing is I kind of expect it so it doesn't bother me. It's just like in Tombstone when all of a sudden they ran out of ammunition. It was like
a few thousand rounds per gun.
I'm up to the point where it doesn't bother me as much. It's actually mishandling firearms, for example, in certain scenes that drive me crazier.
Stop sweeping the bus with your rifle.
Exactly.
Damn it, Keanu.
That part doesn't bother me, and I'm kind of surprised it doesn't bother me as much as you guys do. It does. So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. You can catch us on Facebook.com/RealFlixReviews, or you can catch us on iPod, the iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and more.
I mean, is the English language difficult for you today?
It must be. I'm exhausted. It's been a long month for me. Let me put it this way.
It's not funnest?
No,
it's
not.
Funner?
I've moved more damn boxes in the last month than I think I've done in 5 years.
Bowser.
Hey, my shit's heavy, man.
You're supposed to flush that.
Well, hey, you know, it's true. If it's yellow, keep it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. And that's from one of your favorite Hollywood starlets. If you can name that, I'll give you a gold star.
What was I just looking for?
So this is this was sad for me. The Thundercats were one of my all-time favorite cartoons growing up. Thundercats voice actor passes away at 91. Mr. Earl Hyman, Hyman, passed away. That really bummed me.
I didn't even hear about him passing. That's kind
of... I'm bummed about that just because it's still one of my all-time favorite cartoons, and I love the reboot, too, actually.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it was actually a pretty decent reboot, actually, if you take the time to look at it.
Now, I do have a question. If any of you have seen the new Justice League movie, can Aquaman speak to fish, or does he have actual powers besides being, you know, master and commander?
Well, I'm sorry. Why the fuck do you think he wouldn't be able to speak to fish?
It's Hollywood, and you never know. They could decide that people think it's funny that he can command sea life. Like, go, see horses do this, which he does in the cartoons and comic books.
No, I haven't seen
it. It's his main
power.
Ability, anyway.
Basically, the Invisible Woman is better than Aquaman. So I've heard a couple interesting things. Allegedly, Ben Affleck wants to get out of being Batman.
Why? He just can take all the shit?
I haven't. I saw this in passing. I didn't actually was able to check out the article. So what do you think, though? I mean, far as Batman goes, he's not the worst.
No.
I actually kind of like
the worst, but
I like his version of it, though. I mean, it's kind of it's the grittier Batman. I mean, it's not the grittiest Batman, but
I don't know. I
because I would put him as number.
He's definitely not the worst.
I'd put him as number three. Kilmer.
I put him as probably two. I was such a fan of Christian Bale's, but
It's a Christian Bale, you know, Michael Keaton, and then him.
I like Michael Keaton over Ben Affleck. I agree with that, but
yeah, Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne was
shitty,
goofy.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
True, he's no Kevin Conroy in the cartoons, but
I don't know. I he's definitely not the worst. I'll just go with that. I mean, kind of got where he's going for it, but I just think he failed.
See, here's the question. Was it him or was it the story they were trying to tell? Would he do better?
That's an excuse. I'm done with the cop-out thing.
Well, no. I mean, I legitimately think it because
I mean, you're Ben Affleck. You've done so much. Are you going to really let a director ruin your character?
But they were trying to do so much, though. I mean, that's what I'm wondering if it was the case. They were trying to do too much for what they're trying to do. They're trying to copy Marvel, and Marvel made movies for every single character except one or two. So I don't know.
Well, yeah. Justice League was trying to catch up. I mean, ever since they did the first sort of teaser announcement for the Avengers, I got excited because I thought to myself, oh shit, I get to see a Justice League movie eventually, because of course DC is going to follow suit. But it took them a while to get going.
Yeah,
you know, they almost had to like redo a couple of movies, reboot a couple of franchises before they can really be on sort of firm ground. And they seem to start playing catch up with Marvel, and not putting in sort of the quality of groundwork.
I mean, Marvel had the long game. I mean, I think Marvel had the long game because like Iron Man was the first start in the Marvel universe, and allegedly, I don't have proof of it, the last Hulk
was X-Men.
The last Hulk movie was supposed to be part of this. I've always heard was supposed to be the first starting of the DC. No, not DC. Scratch that. I heard it was
Marvel.
Yeah, was supposed to be first Marvel, but it didn't turn out. I'm sorry, I got confused over something.
How shitty that movie was.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to see it. I've been told by my parents that it was a good movie. The old guy liked it, but I don't know. I like where it's going.
I mean,
though.
Look, I'm really hoping I like it. I really hope I do. I mean, I've been looking forward to this one for a while. To me, this seems like it should have been the culmination of something, you know, that was much grander than what it is, you know.
But it's from what I've seen, it feels like it's one step away from having the Wonder Twins. I don't know. It's on the verge of being campy from everything I've seen. I mean, I'm hoping I'm wrong, but if you look at the trailer, it really does look campy.
So they basically made a Captain Planet?
I wouldn't go that far. Maybe Howard the Duck. I don't know. I'm going to go right.
You wouldn't go Captain Planet far, but you'd go Howard the Duck far.
Well, Leah Thompson's in Howard the Duck.
I feel like that's a little backwards.
There's one redeeming person in Howard the Duck. That's Leah Thompson.
Yeah,
I had a crush on her as a kid, so I'm
I think
still
every
with
guy
her.
Did.
Steven Soderbergh is in awe of Mad Max Fury Road and can't see how hundreds didn't die making it. And I actually agree with him, seeing how
how
he's surprised that hundreds didn't die filming Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, I see. Yeah. The way they film that, it is, they're going to be teaching that in fucking schools for a long time.
I hope so. So since we all subscribe to Netflix or another one of those streaming services, Disney has been announcing for a while they're going to do a new streaming service. Came out sometime the last couple of days. It'll make it cheaper than Netflix, allegedly, because Netflix and Amazon are still eating everybody's lunch or drinking everybody's milkshake.
Well, the interesting thing about the whole deal is that they're taking Marvel with them.
Well, yeah, they'd have to. But here's my point. I'll try it out when it's released, especially if you'd like a 30-day trial. My only way that'll ever stay on this, if I have access to all their catalog.
They won't.
I want stuff that, like, Songs of the South. I want stuff from when I was a kid. I just don't – I don't think they're going to do it. And that's the only way I'm ever going to stay with it.
The thing is they're going to, like you said, they're going to take Marvel with them. They're going to take Star Wars with them. So, obviously no Star Wars anything.
But at this point, who doesn't own at least one copy of the Star Wars movies? I mean, they're not exactly,
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, because I don't have kids or anything.
I don't want them.
Yeah, I would definitely rather just go and buy all of the Star Wars movies again than get a subscription thing, because I'm sure it's going to be expensive, or at least that's what speculation seems to be.
I read within the last couple of days they're going to aim to be cheaper than Netflix, which with the Disney's back,
Well, they have a lesser catalog, of course, that they can draw from. One would imagine.
Disney has
bought a lot.
Disney, but also don't forget, there's Disney's entire back catalog from day one that they, in theory, could actually have on the service.
You mean they're going to put out Steamboat Itchy?
They could. Right. They could. They could put
Steamboat
out
Steamboat Itchy.
Thank you. God damn, dude.
I was no selling that. They have a lot that they could do if they release it. The problem is some of it at this point in time with today's political climate is a little bit controversial. So. They're kind of stuck with all the modern, the second golden age of Disney. They're stuck with Pixar.
You mean you're not expecting them to do the Dumbo with the crows and shit like that?
No, I don't expect them to. I mean, it's on Blu-ray now, but I just don't see them.
People are saying the crows in Dumbo are racist.
It's a stereotype.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not making this up.
Will not put out one of their seminal classics because some liberals are upset about it?
No, I'm saying they will put it out, but it's like The Lion King, where you can't buy The Lion King without the extra song. You can't buy Beauty and the Beast with the extra song. So as far as I'm concerned, or thinking they'll do, is they'll just remove that whole part with the crows.
I don't,
which is actually a really major plot point, because he has the feather for a long time.
See, I don't think they're going to do that. I really don't.
Yeah, they wouldn't go back and retroactively edit their movies just to make it palatable for a 2017 audience.
Oh, come on. They've already taken out Leroy.
It was made in like 1924.
Leroy?
The black guy from the old Warner Brothers cartoons. They got rid of him. Remember the Bugs Bunny? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah.
I see. Yeah, he's gone. Speedy Gonzalez is gone.
Without getting into politics, I just don't. Disney could, if Disney literally released their entire back catalog, even movies that are dear to me that I know that aren't really politically correct, I would do it just to have access to certain content that is not available without buying a really old beat up VHS tape. If they don't, I already have like most of the modern Disney movies that I want to purchase. I have almost all the classics. I don't really need any of the Marvel movies. I'll probably at some point buy the new Star Wars when 7, 8, and 9 come out.
I mean, 8 and 9. Put out the Sacred Geometry.
So I don't know. I mean,
that'd be interesting.
So what about you, Ryan? Is there anything that Disney has in their catalog that would make you purchase it? One movie, anything to even remotely give it a try?
No, probably not, because I would probably just rather own them. You know what I mean? So like I would probably be reminded of something like, oh yeah, that one. But I'm not going to be on top of that thing like I am with Netflix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Netflix is my go-to thing.
Yeah.
I'll totally get a month's worth just to see what's on it. But yeah.
I mean, I have Netflix. I'm not going to go out of my way for an Amazon thing or Hulu. Or even you know that YouTube's doing it too, right? YouTube Red.
Yeah, they also have the thing where you have YouTube where you can watch live TV for $35 a month.
Yeah,
it's all local streaming
but
channels.
As far as I'm concerned, it's it's not a necessary thing when you have something as variety as Netflix has, which according to some of the things I've read, the Marvel's going to go away from Netflix and the Disney's going to go away from Netflix.
Which isn't really that much of the catalog, realistically.
No, it's really not.
Honestly, all you need is if you...
I don't want to lose Luke Cage and The Punisher and those ones. That's the one that I'm kind of disappointed by.
That,
and I don't know if they're going to be taken off because they're Netflix exclusive things that Netflix put out on their own.
Well, that really depends on.
Yeah, see, that's kind of
that depends
that's
on the
kind of interesting.
That depends on the contract. It really does. If it
does,
was something,
I agree, but
if it's something that I think Netflix is paying for, they can't. They won't be able to unless something. It's part of the contract. It'll be interesting. I don't think it's going to go away because, A, I don't know that many people who are going to pay for Netflix just to, I mean, the Disney streaming service just for Luke Cage. I don't know anybody.
Like Punisher.
Or the Punisher. I don't know anybody who's going to do it.
I don't know. I'm not going to jump on board of the Disney. I'll see how much it is when it comes out because I do have a son and it might be something that he might be interested
in. And it's a safe bet, though. I mean, there's a lot more safer things on that than there is on Netflix.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, next week is James's pick. So, James?
I'm going to jump a year ahead from 1986 go to 87 to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
John Candy classic.
Yep. And we're just going to carry over
one of my favorite holiday movies of all time.
I didn't watch it.
What was the TV show?
Murdoch Mysteries. Ah. So it was supposed to be on Netflix, but I guess it got taken off. So
ladies and gentlemen, I gave Aliens a 4.5. Ryan gave it a 4.5. James gave it a 4. Next week is the seminal classic, Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Close enough.
No.
And ladies and gentlemen, with this holiday season fast approaching, we here at Real Flix Reviews want you to stay home this holiday season. Forget about Black Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Pop a bag of your favorite popcorn, hang out with your family, because I guarantee all those memories of you watching your favorite movie will stay around a lot longer than that crappy gift you purchased. So,
and
ladies and gentlemen,
drink a lot of alcohol.
And ladies and gentlemen, for everybody here at Real Flix Reviews, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. Oh,